Welcome into the Monday Scramble podcast from up here at Augusta. Jay Coffin here with Ryan Lavner and Rex Hoggard. And fellas, we've each been up here for a Rex is waving. So hello to all of you.
This is his first podcast, apparently.
He's very nervous. We're here in our rented house, and I'm next to this creepy doll that has been here in this room for the last 6 years. And
it is
creepy. We'll send along anybody who insists on looking for a photo, then jump on my Twitter account. But we digress. So we've each been up here for a couple days. You know, all the preview hype, the top six in the world and everything, but we've been here for a couple days. And Rex, we'll start with you. What in your mind is different now than it was, say, 48 hours ago?
This crazy, out-of-control, insane forecast I'm staring at right now. I don't play a weatherman on TV or on a podcast, but this is what we got going on. 60% chance of showers Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m., winds gusting to 25 miles an hour. As the week goes on, gusting to 30 miles an hour on Friday, high of 68. Saturday, gusting to 25, high of 63. And it could be even colder on Sunday morning.
So what you're saying exactly is that cold Jordan windy. Spieth is not going to be touching 20 under par this year?
No. Well, I could have told you that in the podcast the other day when you were driving like a madman. Because the Green Jackets were never going to allow that to happen. What this tells me is that I think we're staring at another year where the field is suddenly wide open. The year that Zach Johnson won, very similar conditions, hard, fast, windy. I think we went from a list of maybe 10, 15 guys that you could sit here and make a good argument for that could win this tournament to 20, 25, maybe even beyond that.
Yeah, I think we were already looking at the most wide open Masters that we've seen in years just because you have so many top players playing so well. But Rex, I think that's a great point. Is this going to be just like 2007 where it's not just the high ball hitters who can fly it in there and land it soft? Now you're bringing in Zach Johnson. You're bringing in a medium length hitter who can contend at Augusta National. The players have already been talking about how the greens are firmer and faster than they were at this time a year ago. Unless we get some heavy rain, that's only going to be the case further as we go on the rest of the week. The wind's going to dry those things out incredibly, and it's going to be a really stern test in the weekend.
And it's sort of not that it's in the players' heads, but the players, you know, that we've heard from earlier in this week are expecting maybe even single digits to win this thing, like you're saying, right? Like if anybody gets to 10 or 12, they're probably going to win this thing. Jason Day, of all people, who hits it as high as anybody, as long as anybody, has got the ball in the hole better than anybody over the last month, really over the last 8 months, right? Said on Tuesday, yeah, 8-9 under might be a pretty good score. So, you know, we'll wait and see how it plays out. But it's already, these guys are already thinking
and
preparing.
And the forecast is actually worse.
Worse than,
exactly. What they're anticipating. Yes. The wind of 25 to 30.
30, yeah. And here's the deal.
That's very rare.
No golf course changes more from Monday to Thursday. No golf course changes more from Wednesday to Thursday. I mean, the folks here, they have it down to a science. They can dial it up and make it as hard as they want. And the fact that players are talking about already how hard the greens are, how fast the greens are, how firm the golf course is, I think it does give you an indication. They weren't going to let 19 under win again. That wasn't going to be an option. And then you factor in these weather conditions. It's going to be a hard week. Not U.S. Open. Let's don't get crazy. But it's going to be much harder. I'm sure we'll still see birdies on Sunday afternoon because that's what they do.
We will, but it won't quite be the Fun Masters of 2015, right?
No.
That was the Fun Masters.
No, or 2011 when you had Charles Schwartzel making four birdies in a row to finish here. I don't think we're going to quite see one over par win like it did in 2007.
No.
But 6, 7, 8 under par, it's all going to come down to how those players perform on the par fives.
All right, so the weather will be the weather. Obviously, that's something to monitor, you know, because we do play an outside sport as far as we do, but not very well.
I've never seen anybody
that cover We cover an outside sport. But let's knock off some of the players that we've talked to just a little bit earlier this week. How about Rory McIlroy? Rory comes in on Tuesday saying that he didn't prepare for this week like he has every other time for the Masters. This is his eighth Masters. He's always come in and had sort of a scouting mission of sorts before. Didn't do it. Wants to try to keep it normal like every other week. Good move, bad move? Rexy, what do you think?
I think it's a good move. Look, he knows his golf course. I've always been a little dubious of guys. Even Phil was talking about it this afternoon. That, look, he feels like he needs to do his routine, which is come in a week early and then play a lot when he does show up. I don't buy it. I mean, the golf course has not changed. It's still the same golf course that you played 8 years ago. The conditions are going to change. And I think in Rory's case, it was an information overload. There was too much going on in his head. What he needs to be worrying about is making sure his swing and his game is in order, and I think that's where the focus is this week.
I think the information overload was a couple years ago when he was making his first couple trips around. I don't think that's the case anymore. Now I think it's a matter of pressure, both internal and external, to win at Augusta National. Everyone looks at his game. He hits it long. He hits it hot. He can hit those towering iron shots. He has decent touch around the greens. You say Rory McIlroy should win not just one Masters title, but he should probably win a couple of them. And now you throw in the fact that you got the career Grand Slam hanging over his head, and it's a reason why he went out his first 27 holes last year in 3 over par and basically got lapped by Jordan Spieth because he has all this pressure. So I think I'm not sold on this change routine. He's changed virtually everything that he's done in previous years.
What he's done up to now hasn't worked. Why not change it?
It has worked. Over the last 4 years, he's progressively gotten better.
Hasn't won, and that's all that matters to him at this point. And as far as the Grand Slam goes, I think actually, as much as he can be under the radar, as far as that conversation goes, it's not like last year. We didn't lead with that story this year like we probably would have last year. So I think that has
subsided. That certainly helps.
Yeah, that has subsided a little bit. And look, you're going to do the things that you do. I don't understand why players feel like they need to come in this week and treat it like any other tournament, why they don't treat it like any other tournament. The fact is, if you show up at an event and you play a practice round on Tuesday and a pro-am on Wednesday and go on to win, that's a good formula. Why not use the same formula this week?
Yeah, I'm sort of indifferent. I mean, I agree with you, Lav, in that he hasn't won, but he's not just laying sod all over the place.
The last 4 years, he has trended in the right direction.
Correct.
Every single year, he has gotten
so you know what is? So by him trying to take pressure off himself, the thing is, though, if he doesn't play well this week, it's going to put more pressure on him because it's going to show that whether it had anything to do with his preparation or not, that will then sort of be blamed for a poor performance.
Well, now he's basically run
out of ideas. And then what will he do next year? It's exactly right.
He's basically run out of ideas on how he can contend at Augusta National. He's changed his putting stroke. He's changed... He didn't come in for a pre-scouting mission. He didn't. Now he's playing one ball in practice rounds because he wants to simulate a tournament experience. He's thinking about not overthinking when he's a world-class player and he has enough talent to get it done.
There's only one comment which means he's thinking really too much. Sense.
There's a lot of those comments that made sense.
Not as it applies to this, because I think the only thing that it's going to boil down to is the new putting stroke. That's what's going to make the difference. If he doesn't win, it's because he doesn't feel comfortable putting cross-handed on these greens, which is certainly understandable, considering these are probably the most demanding greens guys are going to face all year long. You're putting something in play that you've been testing on tour for a month since Doral. So it's always going to be a difficult transition. That's going to be the deciding factor, not any of these other things.
Do you have more confidence in Rory's stroke or Adam Scott's stroke?
Oh, Adam Scott. By far. And look, you're talking to a guy that 3 months ago would have said the exact opposite. Maybe even a month ago. I mean, before Riviera, I probably would have said the same thing. The fact he's made this transition look not easy, but effortless. I mean, it looks like he should have never been putting with the broom handle stroke. It looks like he should have never made the transition away from the traditional stroke that he had before. He has so much confidence. He's won here before. I think Adam would be the guy I would go towards in that direction more so than Rory right now.
Both those guys, they just need to have a decent putting week. They're both so good. One.
And I thought Adam Scott, and he's talked about it a little bit before too, but I thought he was really good on Tuesday when he came in and talked about, you know, everybody was thinking he wasn't going to be able to putt with the short putter when he did putt well with it before. But he said his epiphany was he realized now why he putted so poorly with the short putter before. And realize that if he would have stuck with it just a little bit longer, maybe he never should have gone to the long putter. So we look at it as, hey, he was pretty good with the long one, and he's going to be a disaster with the short one because he had those issues, which is why he went to the long one. Well, he said that and said, I realized why I stunk with the short one and fixed all those issues, and that's why I'm putting well with the short one now, so I thought that was good. All right, let's move on a little bit. Bubba Watson, not feeling super well. He's another guy that a month ago was hot off his victory, I think was number one on Lav's hot list.
Leaving West Coast, of course he was.
In Lav's What Have You Done For Me Lately Masters hot list, Bubba Watson was there. Said on Tuesday that he was 80%, sort of had some sinus issues. I guess we don't really know how he feels, but it's something. He's one of the favorites and he's not 100%.
Yeah, I mean, back to this point about picking favorites. Let's be clear that I'm using the most information at my disposal to make that decision. So if Bubba Watson just wins at Riviera and he's coming off a good couple months of the season, yes, he would be the favorite to win. Now, Rex, I believe you picked him to win this week, and it's certainly disconcerting when a favorite is not feeling well enough to even go into the media center and talk.
Well,
if we let you change your pick right now, you probably would, wouldn't you?
Of course you would.
If we let you.
No, I don't know that I would. No. I mean, I made the argument in the car when
conditions.
He was driving like a madman through the middle of Florida. I made the argument that, look, I have doubted Bubba too long. I've always thought that the bottom is going to drop out eventually. He just doesn't have the consistency that you would think that to pull off what he has done over the course of his career. Forget about what he's done here, which is amazing, but even at other places, to win at Riviera, to win at some of the places he's won, it's blown me away because he doesn't have the profile to do these things. I think he finds another gear. He finds another gear at this place. A lot like we talk about Phil Mickelson when he drives down Magnolia Lane. He gets those special feelings. He gets motivated. I think it's the same thing with Bubba. When he finishes second at Doral, he wins Augusta. Where did he finish at Doral this year, Laf?
Yeah, but...
second.
But he's telling us he's not 100%, and this is a week where you might have to grind it a little more than usual, which tends to get Bubba...
When has Bubba ever
a
been...
A little fussy.
When has he ever been dependable in terms of if you think he's going to win that week, that he shows up and performs well?
Never. I mean, that's the craziness about Bubba.
So now all this attention's on Bubba because everyone thinks he's going to play well. He's only
Augusta National
even
is buying
years.
Property to Bubba-proof this golf course. He can do things
and
on this
DJ
golf
proof,
course.
And Jason Day-proof.
I don't think it's DJ and Jason Day that they're worried about right now. They're not the ones with two green jackets in their closet and blows it over the corner on 13 and it has a wedge or some sort of ridiculous iron in. So I think those are the things that make Bubba the X factor when it comes to this golf course. Those are the things that make him, you can't ignore him. I don't care how sick he is. And he seemed fine today. I mean, I listened to the interview. It didn't sound like he was dragging along and needed to go to an ER.
But he had a back issue a couple weeks at Bay Hill.
So did Jason Day, and that turned out okay at the match play. Transition to Jason Day.
Oh, segue. All right, so if we wrap it up, I've got a few more minutes here. I mean, anything else that Stan, we haven't really talked about Spieth too much, Jason Day, a little bit about Adam Scott, Ricky Fowler, Phil Mickelson. Phil seemed pretty – is Phil ever better during the year than he is on a Tuesday in the media center at the Masters?
He had some terrific one-liners on Dustin Johnson. You can go on golfchannel.com and read those. But Rex, one of the things that we both kind of turned our eyebrows up at today was when Jordan Spieth said that he actually feels better – on Tuesday of Masters Week this year than last year. Let's not forget last year he won the Valspar.
He was coming off the playoff.
He got close in San Antonio. Yeah. He lost in the playoff in Houston. He says he's better right now than last year. You buying that?
I am buying that, and I know you're always a little dubious when it comes to comments like that, but I feel like you look what he did last week at the Shell Houston Open, and he birdied 4 or 5 holes. And even though he did not get it done, he came
5 of 7 too.
5 of 7. There you go. He did not get it done. He came apart a little bit coming down the stretch. But those are the kind of runs that get Jordan Spieth's blood pumping. Those are the kind of runs that won him 2 majors last year and had us talking about the single season Grand Slam. I think his game's coming around just like he wants it to. And look, once you've won one of these jackets, it's a lot easier to collect a second one.
It still seems like positive self-talk to me. I mean,
I agree with that. Yeah.
We're talking about a player here. He's finished inside the top 20 in his last 4 starts. He hasn't really had a serious bid at contention here over that stretch. So I think this is a guy who's trying to put himself in the right frame of mind, pump himself up a little bit so he can make it.
I do too. Yeah, I'm fine with that too. But here's another thing too. You tell me if you guys agree. I do like him to hang in there though. No matter how this golf course plays,
these conditions actually favor him.
That's
if it is
sort of what I'm
golf.
Like. He proved a year ago that he can get it done. 2 years ago, it was kind of halfway in between. If it's more difficult this year, I mean, he's won a U.S. Open. He plotted around the Open Championship at St. Andrews, so he does have a game for all seasons. So
yeah, he's not
whatever.
Shoot
so I'm not. So whether that's self talk or not, I do kind of like the guy. Being able to go out there and figure it out on the fly if you will, dealing with whatever elements are out there as well as anybody else.
Look, I'm less worried about, you guys asked me about Bubba and the flu, you know, he's not feeling well, he's got a taste of the sniffles. I'm less concerned about him than I am about my man Brendan Grace, who was my dark horse pick driving up in the car.
Wow, you're really just going on a limb there. What, number 12 in the world?
Yeah. Brendan Grace got paired with Bubba Watson and Ian Poulter. That can't be good for a guy's psyche. There's
Why?
No way.
Why?
You avoid that dark cloud and that
there you go.
Somehow it's gonna just jump out and suck you in. The vortex. Like the Tiger vortex with Ricky Fowler at the U.S. Open last year, kind of the...
But Brandon Grace played well at the U.S. Open last year. He embraced those difficult decisions. I guarantee when Spieth saw that weather forecast, he smiled.
Yeah. And there's no train tracks running down the right side of 16 at Augusta, so I still like Brandon Grace's chance.
As you should.
All right, as we wrap this thing up, any other thoughts here sort of on the eve of the Masters? We're ready to kick off the 80th version, the 80th edition. Rexy, what do you... You looking for, hoping for?
Well, the highlight of the week, and it seems like before the first shot goes in the air, is always the highlight. It's Jack Nicklaus talking before the champ is there on Tuesday night. And it was interesting hearing him talking about the changes, the possible changes to the golf course, 13 being the one moving that tee back. And Jack being Jack, he actually explained four or five different ways they could lengthen that hole or change that hole and really kind of proof it against today's technology, and then he came back to the golf ball. Always back to the golf ball. Gotta change the golf ball, boys.
Yeah. It's almost like he had just a little inside knowledge when he was talking about the decisions on 13. Something tells me that he did. Final thoughts as we're about ready to kick this thing off.
I mean, I think I speak for every golf fan who says they just want Thursday to
just give
to
us
already
yeah.
to already get here already. We've been waiting 8 months. The run up to the Masters is just excruciating. I think it's even worse than the Ryder Cup. In the Ryder Cup, you have 2 years of buildup and you actually have an extra day of waiting. It's an excruciating wait to get to
Thursday.
Is that
really the word you want to use right now?
It's an excruciating wait
to get to Thursday. I think I agree with that. The first 3 days, it feels like 2 weeks. I mean, it truly, it's just...
And then the next 4 days feel like 10 minutes.
And then it goes by quickly. But one thing we can all agree on is that this place, more often than not over the years, has delivered the goods on Sunday, and let's just like hope like hell that it happens one more time.
And if it's nice and windy, it could be even more calamitous than usual.
How you like Louie in the wind?
Not as much as I like Spieth in the wind.
We might have to have a bet.
All right, well, since this is not a gambling podcast, we'll have to do this off. So for Rex,
that's a Tuesday scramble. Yeah.
So for Rex and Ryan and our creepy doll that's sitting here right next to us, I'm Jay Coffin. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. Make sure you check out all of our coverage on golfchannel.com. Have a fun Masters. Happy Masters, and we will catch you soon. Take care. Bye.